Today I've designated it as positive day. Okay? How many people fail the positive test? Yeah. How many people fail it within 15 minutes?
What? 30 seconds, Alex.
It's hard to do, huh?
I love you, man.
It is. No, I love you.
No.
Just say thank you.
Okay. Alrighty. Today is positive day. We're going to set that in your minds, okay? It's positive day, positive class. Everything is going to be good, right? Set that in your head. It's a good thing. To summarize, Kathy brought up a good point yesterday. You know, when we start talking about guilt, we don't really want to look at our own sins. It kind of brings you down, doesn't it? Yesterday was kind of a serious day. Today is positive day. So let's end guilt with a positive note, okay? Let's see. Okay, will you grab for me 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18? Who wants the key verse?
I
do. Positive.
All right.
Come on.
You got it. This man wanted it more than you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The other one was 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. Who wants to be part of this positive atmosphere? BJ. You've got 1 Peter 3:13 through 14. I've got one more opportunity.
No.
Okay, Sarah.
Don't let her do it.
Laura wants it more than Sarah. Sarah or Laura, you got it. I want 1 Peter 5:6 through 7.
Okay.
One last opportunity.
Okay.
Who really wants it?
Oh.
All right, Jonathan, you got it. Come on down. You got 1 Peter 5:10. Okay, this is the way to sum up guilt, okay? This is can-do faith. This is what we're here about. Kingdom is can-do. We can make it. Sue, you're on first? Go ahead, Kay.
For our light affliction, which is set for amendment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Okay, give me the key verse.
The key verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Sure.
I'll say what? Excuse me? Megan, did you want me to?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 10:13. You can always bear your temptations. God will always provide a way for you to escape. You were not tempted above which you are able to endure. That's something you can always remember when you're going through your trials. Always. The Bible is here for support, reinforcement, no matter what we're going through. Okay, 1 Peter 3:13-14.
Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened.
Support. Do not fear. We can go through it. Okay. 1 Peter 5:6-7.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Okay. He cares for us. It's a good pleasure to give us this opportunity. Let's have 1 Peter 5:10. John.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Okay. We are what in this room? We're a few that are
chosen.
Okay. It makes us special, right? We got an opportunity, a positive opportunity to beat this world. We can make it. Okay, that leads us into what we just introduced yesterday. Vision. Someone tell me again, what is vision? Okay, is it what you are you satisfied with what you are presently, or is it something greater? Exactly, you see the goal. And once we see the goal, we see what?
How to obtain it.
How to obtain it. And then we can create the how. Because we can do what? We can choose, right? Exactly. Okay. Vision allows us to go through present difficulties. If your vision is strong enough, what do you see present difficulties as? They're just temporary. We can overcome them. If you allow present difficulties to obstruct you from your vision isn't strong enough. If you surround yourself with negative people that distract from your vision, they're going to distract from your vision, right? Like they say in Scrooge, cut them loose. If their vision isn't your vision, it's not going to help you reach your vision. Things that are difficult in this world, they're present, or they're temporary. They're temporary setbacks. And that's why you got to look at it. Well, this is a setback, but my vision is still here. Don't compromise your vision. Don't rationalize your vision down to a lower level. The kingdom's got to stay here. You've got to keep that vision. Keep the vision. We are people of vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You lose your vision, you lose your direction. You lose your purpose. Have you ever noticed in the studies about old people, the spouse dies? How soon after does the other spouse die? Quickly. They've lost their purpose. They've lost their vision. Purpose in life. A lot of people, and I know this because I work around old people, my dad's business, once they retire, the job's over, death, sickness comes on quickly. It's a human reaction when you lose purpose. Physically, you go down as well as mentally. What does the Bible do for us? Have you noticed? It keeps you sharp. Even older people, when you compare them to worldly older people, you know, they're just bumping along and they're concerned about their sickness and they're very worried about things. They're worried about getting out of a routine. But you notice the older brothers and sisters in the ecclesias, they're sharp. They can talk to you about prophecy. They can talk to you about the world. They're sharp. The minds are still working. There's a purpose. There's a vision. Vision drives us. Heart and soul, two-thirds of our service. Not just the mind, heart and soul. You got to identify with your vision with emotion. You know, like you would identify with a spouse, a girlfriend, or boyfriend. You deal with them with emotion. It drives you to see them. It drives you to build the relationship. Put emotion into your service. It'll drive you to the vision. The more emotion, the faster the change. Remember that. Okay, Jonathan, you said you were trying to fix up a truck, right? Your vision is to have that truck running. Running good, right? Not just running. Now that's important too. If our vision is just to get baptized, what happens when we get baptized? We lose our motivation because we only visualize to the baptism, right? You got to visualize all the way to the kingdom so the motivation stays with you. Like in a sports game, if you visualize yourself just to halftime, what happens to the second half? If you visualize yourself just playing well, what happens? Do you necessarily win?
No, you play well.
Visualize yourself winning. That'll motivate you through the whole game. Visualize yourself winning, making the kingdom. You'll motivate through the whole game. Don't just stop at baptism. That's just one part of the process to get to the final goal. Okay, Sherry, what if there are no jobs in your area? Are you going to give up?
No.
Is your vision strong enough to find a job?
That's me.
So where are you going to go next?
Surrounding area.
There you go. Keep the vision. Don't compromise the vision with the temporary setback. We are chosen, we're called, we're special, we all have the opportunity for this vision. Vision drives businesses. You know what they do in a business plan? They write down a vision. So when they get down in the rut, profits are low, they relook at the vision. We are going to be the best quality customer service product in the world. That's what we are. Find a way to overcome the competition. Find a way to get profits back. Find a way to make our customers happy and loyal. Vision. They use it in business. We need to use it in life. The kingdom. The Bible provides every necessary means for us to make it. When we talked about guilt yesterday, it's a process. It's a means to forgiveness. It's a means to make salvation. We read the verses this morning. You're not going to be tempted over what you can bear. There's always a way out. There is forgiveness if you fail. Everything in the Bible is provided for you to make it. You've got to believe it. Because you act how you believe yourself to be. Yes, Anne.
I got two more pretty good verses.
Rattle them out. You're on.
Romans 8:18-31.
Okay, read them both.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And 31, the second half says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Excellent, excellent. If you're down, read the Bible. It'll bring you back up. If you don't know where the verses are, ask somebody else. Now, that's the key thing, too. In business or whatever, if you don't know something, find somebody that knows the answer. they call it a mentor group. Surround yourself with intelligent people that have the same goals. And we can do this in the Bible. Iron sharpeneth iron. Find people that share your vision. They'll support you. They'll keep you going through the temporary difficulties. You know, it's tough. There's lots of good friends in the world. But get into their head. Where's their vision? I want a beautiful wife. I want a great car. I want a great job. Okay. What else is there? There's nothing. And eventually, they're going to compromise your vision. You know, but you heard that, knocking all the friends and things like that. But just make your vision. It's not your parents' vision anymore. You know, they sit back, and when you're younger, oh, I want my kid to turn out right and all that. But we ain't the kids anymore. We're making our own choices and decisions. It's got to be our own vision. Because now, when we're away from our parents, whether out or wherever, we're making our own choices. And now we're starting to suffer our own consequences. So make your own vision. Make it this vision. Okay. A few more things to sum that up, and we'll keep plugging around. Let's see. Hey, I pretty much covered that. All right. Okay. Okay. In order to succeed, we must be end result oriented. What does that mean? End result.
The goal.
Exactly. Don't stop halfway. Baptism isn't our end result, is it? No, it's making the kingdom. And if you even want to go farther, see yourself in the kingdom. Now that's kind of a new idea, huh? See yourself as best you can in the kingdom with your support group, with your loved ones. You know, that really motivates us all the way through. You know, we're not just stopping at halftime, not just stopping at baptism, we're going all the way through. Why is it important to become end result oriented? Well, we just answered that. To get us all the way to the goal, not just halfway. The kingdom should be our end goal. Well, we asked, how does one get vision now? Okay, Tom, vision sounds great. How do I get it? How do I get it? How do I use it? Well, it begins with asking yourself some simple questions. What do I want for myself? And when we started in the first class, you got to want the kingdom to make this a part of your vision. If you don't want that, then you're really wasting time here because time is short. You need to be somewhere else. That's not your end goal. Wasting time. But if it is, then we can make it part of our vision. Vision comes by being inventive and creating through the power of the mind. Okay, a little formula I want you to write down. I times V equals R. I times V equals R. Anybody know what that means? Besides you people that know me.
I know.
Anybody have an idea?
Equals result.
Okay, close. Imagination times vividness equals reality. What does that mean to somebody? Anybody throw one? Florence, you're going to answer this question for me. Any ideas? What imagination times vividness, why does it equal a reality?
Can't be a hazy goal.
Jim?
That we can perceive and realize.
Very good. Very good. Now, the thing is, like, when you've got a temporary goal, like, I've got to get a new car. This Joker Volkswagen just ain't cutting it. What do? You imagine the new car exactly the way it looks, don't you? I want custom wheels. I want it black. I want a four-wheel drive. I want a ragtop. I want a CD insert stereo. Don't you go over this and over this and over this?
No, I don't.
Until it becomes vivid. When you go to the car shop, you go, I want this one. The Stratocaster, like in Wayne's World. You know? It's got three pickups with a whammy bar, pearl inlays. Yeah. Ah, this is the one. Right? You've made it vivid. You've thought about it all the time. You've imagined it. And then if it's really vivid for you, you're going to find a way to make it reality. You're going to take out a loan, you know. And if it's that bad, you're going to steal to get it. Imagination times vividness equals reality. How can we imagine the Bible and make it vivid? Well, first, what do you got to do? Right, you got to open it and see what it says, you know. You just can't go, that's what I want.
Yeah,
that's what I want. No, you got to read about it. What does the kingdom hold for me? And what are the things I can do? What are the things that I have to do to get it? And then imagine on it. Make it vivid. Make it real. Don't make it, and this is the way I've always been. Kingdom, fuzzy but bright. You know? Kingdom, lofty. I'm here. You know, nice. Great. That's what I really want to do. I don't see myself being able to do it. Why? I didn't let a value come in so I could see how to get there. Right? When you make it the goal and then you focus on it with imagination, make it vivid, then you see, baptism, that's clear. That's one of the steps. Now I can start helping others. I can read. I can understand more. Maybe I'll get an opportunity to teach and share the information I've learned, get feedback back and grow. Growth, production, results. This becomes clear, doesn't it? If you imagine yourself in the kingdom, the means becomes clear. It's not this hazy, lofty thing that, yeah, I want to do that someday, but I got to get through school first, you know. Yeah, I want to be that someday, but, you know, this job's just killing me, you know. I got budgets due, I got sales due, I got pressure out of quotas. I'll get back to that later. It's got to be of value to you. It's got to be vivid every day. And we're trying to make it more vivid this week because we're at a Bible school, right? How do we keep making it vivid by imagining thinking on it when we're at home? Now it takes discipline a little bit, doesn't it? But another thing you can do is you can call each other. You can share struggles you've got. You can build each other up because you share what? The same goal, vision. Me! Vision. Remember that.
Cheerleaders.
Okay, we need to say to ourselves, this is what I want. This is how I want things to be. I want to be in the kingdom. So we start creating it. Next we ask, how am I going to do it? Where do I get the resources? I'm going to tap into people that know more than I do. I'm going to tap into people I look up to. Well, I want them. And have you ever heard this in business world? I'm going to pick your brain for everything you got. Okay? Because I don't know it now, but I'm going to get it. Pick your brain. Pick someone else's brain that knows more than you. If you're shady on an area or what to do in a certain situation, tap into someone's brain. They're there to be used, and that's a good thing. Okay? Use your elder brothers, use your elder sisters, use people that know it. Drain their brain of information to make this more vivid. Drain their brain. Creating the how comes after we create the vision, and after we create it, then we know the process. But a key to a good vision is one that stretches us to look beyond our current reality, to look beyond our current performance and behavior levels. I want to be here. Once we focus on here, the things we do wrong here say, that's not like me, that's not in conjunction with my vision, I need to change. Don't compromise the vision. Don't bring it down. Keep it up. If we never allow ourselves to venture beyond what we already know, or our performance levels now, our vision will never be very large, or we'll always compromise it. We've got to create a little stress during the transition to change to move up to higher levels. If not, you'll always sink back by rationalization, procrastination, and say, this is me. Yep, this is me. I do these things. Yes, that's how I am. You'll stay here. Current reality. Current reality is stagnation. It's lukewarm. Well, the Bible demonstrates vision. There's great people of vision in the Bible. Christ is our ultimate vision. Why? Because while he was hanging on that cross, while people were spitting on him and hitting on him, he said, I am of my Father. This is of purpose. This is my vision. This is temporary. And he went through it. That's the ultimate case. That's impressive, great vision. Okay, let's look at kind of the way that I see myself when I'm down, when I'm way out of line on the truth, when I'm hanging out with my friends and I'm caught up in the world. I see this little finger hanging on to the truth saying, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going down. Who's a good example of that? Well, Jim touched on it yesterday. This is Jacob wrestling with the angel. This is what I always see myself. I maybe get beaten down. I maybe let the world take me out, but I'm not letting go. Not letting go. Let's read it. Genesis 32, 24 through 28. And Mandy, you're going to start and go to your right. Genesis 32, starting at verse 24.
Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until breaking of the day.
Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him.
And he said, "Let me go for the daybreak." He said, "I will not let me go except thou bless me."
And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed."
Okay. Now, what I always think in my mind is the 26th verse. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." When I get really down, I see myself as Jacob. I'm not letting go till you tell me I didn't make it. Okay? Maybe you can instill that in yourself. You're down in your worst situations. You're feeling overwhelmed with guilt. You feel like hanging it up and saying, "I'm tired of this." Hold on to that and say, "I'm not letting go till you tell me it's over." You know, it's kind of, that's one of like my last resorts when I hold on to. Because I still got a chance. I'm not letting go. God's people in the wilderness were given the vision of the promised land. Well, many of them lost their vision. And what happened? Right. They went back to the golden calf, or they went back to whatever. They lost their vision. They compromised it and they lost it. Don't compromise your vision. While maintaining our vision, and it must be the kingdom, because really that's the ultimate thing to have, not only drives us to more righteous behavior, but he also gives us the strength to deal with present temporary difficulties. Christ is our perfect example. We mentioned that. Through life and through his death, he held on to God's will. He held on to his vision, the vision, which we all can share. Okay, he was able to conquer sin and bear the suffering. What is God's vision? Kathy, what's God's vision?
Well, really, for the kingdom, it's not our salvation, God's manifestation.
Right.
It's the kingdom.
So exactly.
I guess glorifying God.
And what's that famous verse? Right, Numbers 14:21. Someone know it word for word so we can hear it? All right, we've got to look it up then. Okay. I've had somebody say it clearly and with positive conviction. What does it say? Steve, what does it say?
I have to look it up.
We'll look it up then. Numbers 14:21.
Got it?
Yeah.
"But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord."
Okay. That's the vision. That's God's vision. We can become a part of that. Anything with vision means we're getting what? Out of current reality. Our current behavior, our current performance levels. We are becoming dissatisfied with the present, and we're being desired to be the new. What's the perfect time for that? Put off the old man, go for the new. What is it?
Baptism.
What?
Baptism.
Thank you, George. Hey. Positive day, remember? Positive, uplifting day. Okay? Okay. Okay. Remember, you've got a support system. You've got people around you. You've got elder brothers. You've got people that are struggling. You know, they're older. You know, they're going, "Back in 1940, well, they have prohibition." Well, was it? Was it the 30s? Whatever. You know, you're going, yeah. Okay. I remember we couldn't see talking movies. You know, can't identify with that. But these people have gone through struggles. You know, the world is terrible today, but it's been terrible for a long, long time. You know, we're seeing it come to a head through rationalization and people, you know, the morals and things like that. But there have been tests. And if you can get one-on-one with someone older, they can help you as well, too. And also each other. You can strengthen each other. That's our support system. And when you're baptized, you know, my opinion is before you're baptized, you can pray. You can pray and be led towards the right direction. But we know for sure that after you're baptized, you have a direct link for strength, for guidance, for support, for forgiveness, importantly. That can always, and that is part of our forgiveness process, to be strengthened, uplifted, and renewed. What's a, how many people thinking about baptism right now? Okay? What's the main put off? Are there some things to do first? You want to experience first? Or what's your main thing that you're not doing it? If you're not doing it, you better have a valid reason. Is there a valid reason? First, analyze your end result goal, because that'll answer all your questions. What's your end result goal? Is it the kingdom? Is it really the kingdom?
That's what you're struggling with.
Okay. Why?
It's kind of like afraid I'm having too much fun and won't be able to keep it up. It's kind of a weak excuse, but I mean, it is.
I mean, right. If our goal is this, and maybe it's fuzzy, kind of bright but fuzzy right now, we haven't really thought about this goal enough. Because then the path becomes clear, right? So those are some personal questions, and everybody asks them. And when I was, before baptism, I was doing the same way. Let me get through first year of college, you know. That hindsight's so great, you know. What do I do that for? Why do I wait? I didn't see anything really. Didn't see anything that I couldn't, made a choice not to do, you know. But I know how it is. It seems real big before you're baptized. Baptized is just part of the step. Don't see yourself just a baptism. You got a lot of works to provide when you see yourself all the way through. Now, one thing, another thing I'll bring up, do we know we can be resurrected if we're baptized? Right, that's a sure thing, right? Do we know we're going to be in the kingdom if we're not baptized? Not for sure. We don't have a lot of clear things. You know, we have some people go into, well, if you're up to 20 like that, and people in the wilderness, maybe you're covered. It's a chance, right? If you're betting, man, this is a bad example, because we're not betting people, right? But if you're a betting man, you can win $10,000 or chance it and maybe lose 50 or win 50. What's always your safest bet? The sure thing, right? The sure thing. What's the sure thing to get into the kingdom? Okay, if your goal is the kingdom, do the sure thing. It just makes sense, doesn't it? If your goal is not the kingdom, wasting time. Wasting time. It's a lot of fun to do, wasting time. So if your goal is the kingdom, make things clear, make it of value to you, you'll see the necessary steps. You'll follow it on your own. It's that simple. Don't shorten your vision because you fail along the way. That's why God provided a whole process to deal with our guilt, to get forgiveness with a sincere confession and repentance, to be rendered forgiveness. What comes after we, at the very end of things, the big spectrum? Salvation. Right? It's a process. You can manage guilt, understand it's a process. It's when we have a breakdown in the process that we have a breakdown in our vision. Don't compromise your vision. Lock onto the kingdom. Lock out the world. Okay? Put the blinders on. Focus. Make it real. See how you can create the how to accomplish or overcome your temporary difficulties. Grow. Be a flower. Grow. Don't just be a weed that dies or drags down others with you. Grow. Produce fruit. Produce results. What's the best employee you can have? What does he do for your company? Provides results. Okay? If you've got a great guy that tells jokes and can make everybody laugh, but he's losing thousands every quarter, what do? You got to cut him loose. If people are dragging you down from you obtaining your vision, what do you got to do? Cut him loose. Iron sharpeneth iron. You betcha. Okay. What do people think of when I say self-esteem?
How do you feel about yourself?
Now, we've been conditioned as Christadelphians all throughout that what is bad?
Pride.
Right. What is really pride a reflection of? Jim, you've had a lot of teaching to recognize this. What's a? Give me a profile of a kid of low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be somebody that has very little success at anything.
Okay.
That doesn't have either intermediate goals or final goal, or really, they just kind of, are beaten down and are willing to stay there. And the more they're beaten down, the further they lose self-esteem.
Like, what's some of their behavior trends?
Oh, they don't participate in things. They don't want to try new things. They don't have very many friends who get involved in activities.
Would you say there's also another extreme? The guy that brags all the time is really what?
Well, that's probably false self-esteem.
Yeah.
I think maybe you might be talking about the person that builds himself up by tearing someone else down. Possibly that type of individual.
Right. Well, we've all seen people like that. I'm good at basketball, aren't I? I'm pretty, aren't I? You know, I'm great at this, aren't I? Come on, reinforce me. Also, another profile of someone with low self-esteem is what? They give sanction to what everybody else tells them. You're a loser. Yeah, I'm a loser. They're right. They are right. You know, you give sanction to that, that's low self-esteem too, isn't it? Does low self-esteem help us accomplish our goals? I can't make the kingdom. You're right. I can't. I'm no good. What does that do to us? You act how you believe yourself to be. If you take that in and accept it as truth, what did Cliff Young? He didn't accept the fact that you had to run 18 and sleep 6, right? In his mind, he believed you could run the race straight through. See, if you accept truths that aren't necessarily truth, you can bring yourself down. One of those is giving sanction to what others say about you. Analyze the person that's calling you a loser. Okay? Does he share your vision? No. Does he share your purpose? No. He doesn't. What was I going to think of? Forgot what I was going to think of. Hold on, it'll come.
You'll get it, though.
I will get it. It will be mine. What is it? Oh, okay, I'll come back to it. Okay, most of our conditioning we receive from our lives tells us it's wrong to think well of ourselves. It is wrong to build yourself up and brag and have this false sense of self-esteem saying, I'm awesome, I'm great, I look awesome, I'm great. That is out of line. That is pride. Pride comes before a fall. You're going down sometimes, guaranteed. Well, the Bible calls it pride. Now, pride is wrong. We are told in many places. You see the Pharisees' examples, how they acted and how Christ condemned them? That's pride. They go out and pray and raise their hands in the street and make a big noise. Yet what? Like they're compared to the these little idols. The outside's all white, but the inside's all rusted with old bodies. You know, their outside looks good to everybody else because they're so dramatic. And I'm so great in the things of God, yet their inside's all corrupt. That's pride. That's wrong. Like the Pharisees in Matthew 6:2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound like a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What's the reward of man?
Death.
You're right. It's to rot in a grave, like a dog or an animal. That's it. That's a cool reward, isn't it? Well, we have a conflict here. We know that what we believe about ourselves and the world around us helps us form attitudes and habits, right? Our makeup or our behavior. If we think lowly of ourselves, that we are constantly wicked, we never do anything right, and we will never make the kingdom, how will we behave? Your mind will reinforce you to behave in a false way. Why? Do something wrong? See, that's how I am. See, I told you, that's how I am. Stuck in current reality. Stuck in your comfort zone. Okay. When we act or do good things, will we act or do good things, or will it be more of a tendency to do wrong things to reinforce how we believe ourselves to be? The tendency will be to act how you believe yourself to be. When we when we follow how our mind thinks, our mind always maintains sanity by reinforcing what we believe about ourselves. And I've done this example many times. You know, I'm bad at math. You fail the test. See? Sanity. I'm bad at math. That's how I am. That's how I behave. Right? That's how we maintain sanity. To get insane, like we did a while ago, break out of the mold, people get insane. We've got to cause a little stress and say, see, I'm not bad at math. That's not how I want to be. I'm better than that. Then we go through the change period. When we do something out of the ordinary or beyond what our mind thinks we can do, unless we desire to function at the new level, we'll slip back into the old performance level. Like you get a good grade on a test, oh, that test was easy, because I'm not good at math. I was lucky. The girl next to me showed me all the answers. I like being lucky because I'm bad at math. I can't be good at math. See, that was a lucky three-pointer shot. I never make those shots. I'm not good at outside shots. Well, it takes a little insanity to break out of our old beliefs, our perceptions, what we believe is truth about ourselves, to perform at a new level. Well, I'm supposing with the right humbleness and the right type of mindset, it's not simple to think well of yourself, to give yourself that potential to do things right. The Bible tells us if we're sincere, we go through this process, you know, we're going to fail, but if we can believe we can attain it, try to understand that God's grace and mercy, then we can do the works that we need to reach our potential. You're never going to earn the kingdom, we know that. It's because of God's mercy and grace. But we've got to do some works to what? Establish our faith. We've got to do something. And we don't just get baptized and just backstroke into the kingdom. We've got to do something, right? Lukewarm is what? It's just as worse as bad. You got to be for it or against it. Okay, this is one of my favorite phrases of all time that I came across. You guys are probably, well, I'm too old or too young to really appreciate Winston Churchill. Read that, tell me what you think about it. We are all worms, but I believe I am a glowworm. Right? We are all mortal, sinful people, but I believe I've given the opportunity to be in God's kingdom. That's good. It's good stuff, isn't it? That's positive stuff. Good stuff, man. It's a positive day. Right? We are glowworms. You walk out of here, I want you to glow. You glow this week. You've been given the opportunity to know the vision of God. Be a glowworm. Be E.T. Glow a little bit. Be pumped up. Glow a little bit. We'll try the positive exercise one more time today, since this is more of a positive day. See how long you can go, and they're supposed to be able to do it for a day. No one's ever done it. You can reinforce and be positive to others without saying one negative thing. You know, in the business world, you can fire somebody in a positive way. Steve, I'm really holding you back in terms of your potential. This job is just limiting you, and I think, you know, maybe I'd like to give you the opportunity to move on. I gotta be a family man. You can do anything in a positive way. It's true. So try the exercise. Again, being positive. See how it is. It's funny. It's hard. We're all glowworms. We got a few more minutes. No, we're all worms. We are glowworms. Okay? We're all mortal, but we've been given the opportunity for the kingdom. Now, one more little section. It's going to take just a few seconds, and then we'll close it up for today. Well, when I ask Jim, you know, the truth about someone who is very prideful, he either withdraws, accepts everything that everybody else says around him, and just keeps building himself lower and lower in terms of self-esteem. Or it is someone that always has to get, you know, either way, they're trying to get feedback from others. I'm good, aren't I? Or I'm a loser. Yeah, I'm a loser. See? They don't have anything inside themselves that says they can do it in terms of behavior or potential or good things. Change is all positive when we choose to follow God. That's why this is a positive week. It's a positive day. I designated it a positive day. You will be positive today. Okay? You've got a test to do. You've got to be positive for 24 hours. See if you can do it. Okay? When the other team scores the winning point over your net, you're going to go, good shot. Good shot. Good shot. We would have got first, but good shot. We're trying to change our present sinful self into something that is pleasing to God. Can we be negative and be pleasing to God? Can we be sinful? No, that's all negs. Throw it out with the slugs. You know how you put a slug in your basket? No, I hate her. Yeah. Throw another slug in your basket. You know. Oh, she's mean to me. You know. Just throw it in your bag. Business is terrible. You don't want to be around people like that. Cut them loose. They don't share your vision. But following God is positive. Because what are the characteristics, you know, the fruits of the Spirit? What are they? Somebody give me the fruits of the Spirit. Some of them. Are there any of those negative?
No.
Positive. What are the blessings like in the Beatitudes? Oh, man. You know, this is my first time teaching. You know, I'm tired, I'm hungry. I got some kind of rack.
What was that thing?
City slickers. Okay, I'll leave you with this note. We got mortality against us. We got deceitfulness of the heart against us. We got the lust of the flesh against us. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? That's enough. So why feel lowly about yourselves as well? I mean, if you do that, you've got a full package to fail. Full package, batteries included, to fail. Okay? Take that one thing which the Scriptures will give you. It's your Father's good pleasure to have you in the kingdom. You're not going to be tested about whatever you can bear. There's always a way out. There's forgiveness. God gave His only Son for you to have the opportunity. Take that one little piece and start believing that. Make this goal of value. Let it be clear. See the path. Baptism all the way to the kingdom. And we'll stop there today. Oh, God.